darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III is my name. I'm the host of this program. Joined by the Corner Contingent, right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. And in the screening room, our friendly neighborhood woodaholic, perpetually in recovery, Mr. Marty Sparks, is lighting up the dark from there. J Mac will join him soon enough. I am striking a sober and somewhat somber tone because, frankly, my heart is heavy, man. My heart is really, really heavy. I see once again, frankly, the enemy using a combination of ignorance and an effort to make skin color-based victimization a generational inheritance that is once again taken the reality of what we are all witnessing as a nation right now and quite clumsily and unsanctimoniously reducing it down to skin color-based strife. I saw preacher after preacher after preacher with more melanin in their skin display using the pulpit, frankly, to say false things about Charlie Kirk. I've seen people, some who I don't know personally, many of whom I know personally, that they cannot assess the reality of the evil that we're witnessing because they are blinded by skin color idolatry and partisan idolatry. And it's grieving to me. It's grieving to me. During yesterday's program, I walked through portions of the Communist Manifesto simply to highlight the reality that amongst progressives, violence finds a comfortable landing spot. I know for a fact that there are crackpots all over the fruited plain. But let's be honest about something. When you have people who, like, for example, when you have the person who is purported, who is alleged to have murdered the Minnesota state representative, that person did so in violation of constitutionalist principles. You understand what I'm saying? Like, for example, I oppose the premeditated slaughter of children before they're born. I similarly and vigorously oppose the murder of the doctors who perform murder on these children. And nearly every constitutionalist does as well. There is no one who will say, yes, we support that. But it's striking to see how many people who I will describe as regressives, they are very comfortable with violence. And the simple reality is, because as I said yesterday, it is a tactic of the worldview advocacy. So when you see no cities burned, you know, no stores were looted, no massive protest to destroy any particular population or population center following Charlie Kirk's murder, That's because those things are foreign to a constitutionalist orientation. But it's not foreign to a regressive orientation. And then I've seen these people repeatedly attempt to assert that, you know, Charlie Kirk is a racist. And I'm telling you, majority of these people, they have no clue what Charlie Kirk stand for. They're repeating what they've heard. And they're taking edited clips out of context, not even bothering themselves with the bulk of his public witness. And yet they are willing to be emotionally aroused around a narrative concerning skin color. And it's a combination, as I said, of ignorance. And I don't mean that as a pejorative. I mean, literally, you have people who do not know, who do not know. And it's just heartbreaking to me that the same old okie doke seems to continuously be effective. And so it's heavy on my heart, man. But thanks be to God that the word of God is true. And the Spirit of God opens blind eyes. So to that point, let us turn to the word of God. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 8. We would say, Abe, some people were hurt by some of the words that Charlie Kirk said. And I just simply would say, okay, what are those words? And why do they hurt you? And usually, to those two questions, you get very unsatisfactory responses. Well, not even satisfactory. You get very, very thin responses. My heart's cry for the body of Christ, man, is that we understand that the cross is what makes us family. The cross. We have to stop trying to force kingdom living into a socio-political, you know, political gangsterism framework. The kingdom of God and the love of Christ transcends all of that. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Colossae, and he says this, by the Spirit of God. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. I have discussed this portion of Scripture frequently in different environments, but the words are so alive. They're so alive. Here you have the Lord warning his body through the Apostle Paul. I'm writing so that you would not be deluded. Or some translations there say beguiled. That delusion or that beguilement is a deception, but it's not merely deception. It is a deception that is executed via via seduction. It is a seductive deception. It's very similar to what the Apostle James talks about, that sin being conceived as a result of a lure. That beguilement, that delusion, if not arrested, subdued, and overthrown, that delusion has the capacity to metastasize into full-blown captivity. The Apostle Paul explained it. The mechanism of the deception is a seduction. And what is the means of his execution? Fine-sounding and persuasive argument. Argument. Expressed ideas that have a ring of truth, but upon further examination, according to the white-hot scrutiny of the Word of God, the deception is laid bare. But there are many, and the Apostle Paul explained this to Timothy, who have itching ears. There's a desire to hear certain things. There's a desire to be stroked in a particular way. And what many of us don't realize, and remember, Paul wrote this epistle to the church at Colossae, which communicates that this phenomenon has the capacity to ensnare believers. Paul affirms this reality to the church at Colossae. I am saying this to you so that no one takes you captive. What begins at the level of delusion, what begins at the level of beguilement, what begins at seductive deception, if not arrested and overthrown, it could burgeon into full-blown captivity. If you wondered, man, how can an entire denomination become heterodox? How can an entire millions of people just reject what the scripture says? Then you find out it's not millions. How can people be so willing to subjugate the word of God to something else? Guys, it doesn't begin with the massive evidential demonstration of deception. It begins with the beguilement. We are living in a clash of worldviews. We're living in a clash of worldviews. The scripture conveys to us the reality of the parental involvement in establishing disciples. But for generation after generation after generation, we allow what is clearly Antichrist to become the overwhelming, dominant influence in the marketplace of ideas. How long have you heard the expression, you know, constitutionalism and a Christian conviction? Oh, you're it's a silent majority. How many times have you heard that? How many times? Does the word of God, let me say it better, does God give his body the out of being silent in the face of wickedness? I'm not talking about political persuasion. I'm talking about making disciples, man. What Paul warned, by and large, is what we've experienced in the United States of America. Because our nation's secularization did not come because you've had these passionate evangelists who've gone accumulating a following for themselves. Largely what has happened is that people with very good church attendance have become secularized. And the unfortunate reality is, and it's almost occurred without many people being aware it's happening. Ideas have consequences, guys. Bad ideas create casualties. Horrendous ideas have grave consequences.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verses 10 and 11 of John chapter 10. Jesus is the good and the great shepherd. He's the greatest shepherd there ever was. He's a shepherd that can be trusted. John chapter 12, verse 49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. The Lord Jesus Christ himself in his earthly ministry continually trusted his heavenly Father, his great shepherd, for wisdom, for guidance and direction at every step of his life. He wasn't trying to do his own thing. He was simply trying to follow his heavenly Father. And Jesus, again, stands as a great role model for each of us.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. So probably about a couple hours before coming on to the air, Utah County Attorney Jeffrey Gray led a detailed and very informative, in my view, press conference announcing the formal charges against the person. You guys know I don't like saying murderers' names. I'll say it once, and I know in some of the clips it's going to be stated, but it's Tyler Robinson, who is 22 years old and who was arrested for murdering Charlie Kirk. He's in custody. There are lots of factual information, and I wanted to present as much of that to you as I can. So this show is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a bit more heavy than usual on clips because I want to bring you into the actual press conference itself. The first thing to note is that the state of Utah is a state that doesn't require grand jury proceedings even to formally charge capital felonies, which is unique. They use what's called a criminal bill of information that simply is a formalized document that articulates the basis, the probable cause basis for the allegations made against the charged party. And to bring the charges formally into court. This was filed in the 4th Judicial District in Utah and in the Utah County. Now, it is quite detailed, which was a bit interesting to me because charging documents don't have to basically be what's called like a speaking indictment or a speaking charging document. And hearing the extensive factual presentation did cause my eyebrow to be raised, saying you could end up with a defense filing for a motion to remove to a new venue because you always run the risk of what's called tainting the prospective jury pool by having too much of the factual assertions in the public square. Now, within public communication, that being said, much of the evidence itself was not disclosed, allusions, not even allusions, it was directly stated the evidence that the state has in the state of Utah currently. And I would expect more will be accumulated over time. Now, I want to be clear about something, that nothing that the Utah attorney did is illegal necessarily. Nothing is illegal. It just caused me to have an eyebrow raised as simply a threshold question, not a conclusion, but a question as whether or not this could be problematic down the line. That being said, as the information is publicly available, I want to make sure this audience is up to speed. So I'm going to begin with the beginning of Utah County Attorney Jeff Gray's announcements of the formal charges against the suspect in Charlie Kirk's murder, which also includes his statement that the charges are being pursued in state court as opposed to a federal prosecution, and that the state is intending to seek the death penalty in the event, or should I say, seek the death penalty upon conviction for the charges asserted in this case. Listen to and watch clip number two. Clip two, go.
Today, after reviewing the evidence that law enforcement has collected thus far, I am filing a criminal information charging Tyler James Robinson, age 22, with the following crimes. Count one, aggravated murder, a capital offense, for intentionally or knowingly causing the death of Charlie Kirk under circumstances that created a great risk of death to others. Count two, felony discharge of a firearm causing serious bodily injury, a first-degree felony. The state is further alleging aggravating factors on counts one and two because the defendant is believed to have targeted Charlie Kirk based on Charlie Kirk's political expression and did so knowing that children were present and would witness the homicide. The state is also charging defendant with count three, obstruction of justice, a second degree felony, for moving and concealing the rifle used in the shooting. Count four, obstruction of justice, a second degree felony for disposing the clothing he wore during the shooting. Count five, witness tampering, a third degree felony for directing his roommate to delete his incriminating texts. Count six, witness tampering, a third degree felony for directing his roommate to stay silent if police questioned him. And count seven, commission of a violent offense in the presence of a child, a class A misdemeanor, for committing homicide, knowing that children were present and may have seen or heard the murder and did so based on Charlie Kirk's political expression. Also, following the press conference, I am filing a notice of intent to seek the death penalty. I do not take this decision lightly, and it is a decision I have made independently as county attorney, based solely on the available evidence and circumstances and nature of the crime. Because we are seeking the death penalty, the defendant will continue to be held without bail in the Utah County Jail.
Now, they Jeff Gray continues in this press conference, and he begins to discuss some of the evidence that was recovered from the scene. They recovered DNA evidence from the rifle itself that was recovered, as well as the towel that had been wrapped in. That's going to come a little bit later in the press conference, but listen to this portion where Jeff Gray announces that the law enforcement officers, upon forensic examination, were able to recover DNA matching the accused DNA from the trigger on the bolt-action 30-06 caliber rifle. Listen to and watch. Clip number three. Clip three. Go.
These are the allegations. On September 10th, 2025, at approximately 12:23 p.m., Charlie Kirk was shot and killed while speaking to a large crowd on the campus of Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. Police found the suspected murder weapon, a bolt-action 30-06 rifle, nearby. Over the next approximately 33 hours, police conducted a manhunt for the shooter until the evening of September 11th, 2025, when Tyler James Robinson surrendered to police at the Washington County Sheriff's Office. DNA consistent with Robinson was found on the rifle's trigger. After shooting Mr. Kirk, Robinson hid the gun, discarded the clothing he wore when he fired the rifle, and told his roommate to delete incriminating text messages and not talk to police. Children were present at the time of the shooting.
Now, one of the things you're going to find, just now he mentioned the DNA recovered from the rifle itself. Today we had the first formal confirmation, and I say formal confirmation because there had been speculation prior to this moment, but first formal confirmation from the state that this dude had started a romantic relationship with his roommate, who is a biological male. So basically, you have them involved in a homosexual relationship, and the roommate purports to have undergoing transitioning to becoming a woman, which you all know is not possible. And you're going to hear later on in the show where this suspect's own mother says, within the last year, he became increasingly engaged in politics and was becoming more and more, and this is mom's words, according to the state, left-leaning, gay and trans-oriented. That's what his own mom says. And according to the state's evidence that they report to produce at trial, that this murderer admitted that he did so because he didn't like Charlie Kirk's rhetoric. Generally, as he described it as hateful, I wonder where he got that idea from. Bobby, I wonder where he got that from. And he specifically, as it pertains to homosexuality and transgenderism, and he had to stop the hate, you see, because some people's hate can't be conditioned out of him. These are the words he purported to have said. There's been other speculation that the shooter was some 200 yards away. Jeff Gray, county attorney for Utah County, announced today during the press conference that the shooter was about 160 yards away. About 160 yards away. Listen to and watch clip number four. Clip four, go.
So at the moment of the shot, a UVU police officer was watching the crowd from an elevated vantage point. As soon as he heard the shot, he began to scan the area for threats. Believing the shot came from a rifle because of its sound, he looked for potential sniper positions. He noted a roof area approximately 160 yards away from Mr. Kirk as a potential shooting position and rushed there to look for evidence. The UV officer climbed over the railing and down onto the roof. He then walked to the suspected shooting position and confirmed a clear shooting corridor between the position and Mr. Kirk's seat. He also noticed markings in the gravel rooftop, consistent with a sniper having lain on the roof, impressions in the gravel potentially left by the elbows, knees, and feet of a person in a prone shooting position.
Not only you have that, so I wanted to make sure this audience was aware of that, because when you consider the distance being less than 200 yards, that makes it, and for trained marksmen and snipers, it makes it even more cogent that you don't have to be an expert to be able to make that shot. With that kind of rifle, with that kind of scope, I've heard experts say that you could train a child who has no shooting experience to make a shot of that from that distance with that kind of rifle, with that kind of scope, in an hour. This is what he said, in an hour. In addition to that, Mr. Gray confirms that the state secured additional evidence, DNA evidence, from the items recovered in this investigation. This is a short clip, 19 seconds. Clip number five. Clip five, go.
The rifle, ammunition rounds, and towel were sent for forensic processing. DNA consistent with defendant was found on the trigger, other parts of the rifle, the fired cartridge casing, two of the three unfired cartridges, and the towel.
This next one, this is where we start to get into the heavy, and I want to have sufficient time to do this. And again, I want you to have all of the information that you can as you're processing, as I'm processing this, frankly, evil afoot in our country. Listen to County Attorney Gray recount the defendant's mom's statement to police officers. Clip number six. Clip six, go.
On the evening of September 11th, 2025, as law enforcement continued their investigation, Tyler James Robinson went to the Washington County Sheriff's Office with his parents and a family friend to turn himself in. Robinson's mother stated that the following to police. On September 11th, 2025, the day after the shooting, Robinson's mother saw the photo of the shooter in the news and thought the shooter looked like her son. Robinson's mother called her son and asked him where he was. He said he was at home sick and that he had also been at homesick on September 10th. Robinson's mother expressed concern to her husband that the suspect shooter looked like Robinson. Robinson's father agreed. Robinson's mother explained that over the last year or so, Robinson had become more political and had started to lean more to the left, becoming more pro-gay and trans rights oriented. She stated that Robinson began to date his roommate, a biological male who was transitioning genders. This resulted in several discussions with family members, but especially between Robinson and his father, who have very different political views.
Now, I got to park right there for a little bit. According to what County Attorney Gray said, the defendant's mom says she noticed her son became more politically engaged within the last year. He began leaning more to the left, becoming more pro-gay and trans rights oriented. In a year, you become so changed that within a year you become willing to kill, willing to murder. This is based on what she perceived, according to the reports. Do you think this happened in just 1 year? Or do you think something else could have been stirring prior to a year? We'll dig into this a bit more on the other side of the break.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net and sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Man, I have so many thoughts going through my mind right now. You have Utah County Attorney Jeff Gray, who announced that a part of the investigation included the defendant's mother, saying, quote, he had become more political and had started to lean more to the left, becoming more pro-gay and trans rights oriented. That he began to date his roommate, who was a biological male, end quote. And I asked the question before the break, do you think, and obviously I'm not in the dude's head. Do you think that a person goes within a year, and I'm not saying it's not possible, to political changes to willing to shoot somebody, to murder them in a year? Or was something else afoot earlier? Charlie Kirk began his organization as a young man himself in an effort to appeal to young people. Many of us have observed and even opined on what was happening with younger people in our country. I want you to think back to what I read from Colossians 2 about how persuasive argument, and then in verse 8 in Colossians 2, where it says human reasoning served as a mechanism to take people captive. Frankly, I'm sick and tired of the devil seeming to have so much impact in shaping the hearts and minds of our nation, especially and including our younger people. In your own lives, with the younger people in your lives that you interact with, would you say that more of them are anchored by a biblical view of the world and life? Or not? When you get down to brass taxes, and again, the world is not going to talk about this, but when you get down to brass taxes, old boy didn't shoot Charlie Kirk generally for his political positions. The thing that had him most upset, according to the evidence that we have currently, was Charlie Kirk's positions on God's design for mankind, for human sexuality and identity. Why are there so many young people that have been persuaded to reject God's design? I understand that there are overwhelming influences in terms of their prevalence in our society. But should we, and especially for the body of Christ, shouldn't we seek to establish a fortification to where the lies, and that's simply what they are. Guys, when you have, and I've talked about this before, when you have people spouting it with a professional certainty and affirmation that this is a gender assigned at birth, that's just a dumb statement. It's factually inaccurate, it's scientifically inaccurate, and frankly, it is practically inaccurate. Because everybody who's ever been around a baby, who's ever fathered or delivered a baby, everybody knows that the sex of the child in the year of our Lord 2025 is available to us long before the child is born. This is dumb. It's scientifically dumb. It's factually dumb. It's practically dumb. Yet, folks keep saying it. And other folks, including a lot of young folks, say what I just said to you, it's hateful. It's hateful for me to say that a man can never be a woman. It's hateful for me to say that a man can never have a baby. It's hateful for me to say a woman can never be a man. That's hateful. When did it come to the place where it's culturally orthodox to say that it's hateful? That's not hateful. I'm just taking a fact. And listen, facts are the kind of things that you can't disagree with. They're just facts. You can reject facts, but you can't really disagree with them. If I say to you that a man is a man at the biological level, what most regressives will say, well, no, you're conflating sex with gender identity. And how long has we as a society discussed gender identity as a salient concept? That's new language. Just like math is racist. Guys, I'm gravely concerned that there are not enough people in our society who understand the insidious nature of wicked ideas. This is why with the young lady at Texas A&M University standing up and saying in her children's literature course and say, hey, you shouldn't be teaching me to use a gender unicorn for 3-year-olds We need more of that, not less of that. Not from a hateful disposition. In fact, you do so because we love. Let me try to get through this. The dad made a statement to police, according to what Utah County Attorney Jeff Gray shared today. Listen to and watch. Clip number seven. Clip seven. Go.
Robinson's father reported that when his wife showed him the surveillance image of the suspected shooter in the news, he agreed that it looked like their son. He also believed that the rifle that police suspected the shooter used matched a rifle that was given to his son as a gift. As a result, Robinson's father contacted his son and asked him to send a photo of the rifle. Robinson did not respond. However, Robinson's father spoke on the phone with Robinson. Robinson implied that he planned to take his own life. Robinson's parents were able to convince him to meet at their home. As they discussed the situation, Robinson implied that he was the shooter and stated that he couldn't go to jail and just wanted to end it. When asked why he did it, Robinson explained there is too much evil and the guy, referring to Charlie Kirk, spreads too much hate.
The investigation also included, apparently, the sexually confused roommate is cooperating with law enforcement, with which, if the evidence is true, that he really could be charged with the crime himself. But it seems most prudent at this juncture, if he's cooperating, to allow him to cooperate to effect a successful prosecution. Listen to and watch clip eight that details a portion of the investigation concerning the sexually confused roommate. Clip eight, go.
The roommate. Police interviewed Robinson's roommate, a biological male who was involved in a romantic relationship with Robinson. The roommate told police that the roommate received messages from Robinson about the shooting, and he did provide those messages to police. On September 10th, 2025, the roommate received a text message from Robinson, which said, "Drop what you're doing. Look under my keyboard." The roommate looked under the keyboard and found a note that stated, quote, "I had the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk, and I'm going to take it." Police found a photograph of this note. The following text exchange then took place. After reading the note, the roommate responded, "What? You're joking, right? Robinson, I am still okay, my love, but I'm stuck in Orem for a little while longer yet. Shouldn't be long until I can come home, but I gotta grab my rifle still. To be honest, I had hoped to keep this secret till I died of old age. I am sorry to involve you."
Embrace the journey.
Ooh, what is that?
Where each moment.
Roommate, you weren't the one who did it, right? Robinson, I am. I'm sorry. Roommate, I thought they caught the person. Robinson, no, they grabbed some crazy old dude, then interrogated someone in similar clothing. I had planned to grab my rifle from my drop point shortly after, but most of that side of town got locked down. It's quiet, almost enough to get out, but there's one vehicle lingering. Roommate, why? Robinson, why did I do it? Roommate, yeah. Robinson, I had enough of his hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated out. If I am able to grab my rifle unseen, I will have left no evidence. Going to attempt to retrieve it again. Hopefully they have moved on. I haven't seen anything about them finding it. Roommate, how long have you been planning this? Robinson, a bit over a week, I believe. I can get close to it, but there is a squad car parked right by it. I think they already swept that spot, but I don't want to chance it.
Now, so you have the murderer referring to his grandfather's rifle, having apparently two sources of confession, one to his dad, one to this confused person. Trying to see how much I can get into. I have one more clip concerning this sexually confused dude. Both of them clearly are confused. And then just a disgusting response from an ABC reporter that just indicates what I'm talking about of this clash of worldviews. Listen to and watch. Clip number 9, then I have one more to go. Clip number 9, go.
Robinson again. I'm wishing I had circled back and grabbed it as soon as I got to my vehicle. I'm worried what my old man would do if I didn't bring back Grandpa's rifle. IDEK if it's had a serial number, but it wouldn't trace to me. I worry about prints. I had to leave it in a bush where I changed outfits. Didn't have the ability or time to bring it with. I might have to abandon it and hope they don't find prints. How the F will I explain losing it to my old man? Only thing I left was the rifle wrapped in a towel. Remember how I was engraving bullets? The F in messages are mostly a big meme. If I see notice bulge UWU on Fox News, I might have a stroke, all right. I'm going to have to leave it. That really effing sucks. Judging from today, I'd say Grandpa's gun does just fine, IDK. I think that was a $2K scope. Wink, wink. Robinson again, delete this exchange. Again, Robinson, my dad wants photos of the rifle. He says Grandpa wants to know who has what. The feds released a photo of the rifle, and it is very unique. He's calling me, RN, not answering. Robinson, since Trump got into office, my dad has been pretty diehard MAGA. Robinson, I'm going to turn myself in willingly. One of my neighbors here is a deputy for the sheriff. Again, you are all I worry about, love. That came from Robinson. Roommate, I'm much more worried about you. Robinson, don't talk to the media, please. Don't take any interviews or make any comments. If any police ask you questions, ask for a lawyer and stay silent.
Now, you want to talk about a clash of worldviews. ABC's Matt Gutman described what I just shared with you. And I want you to listen to how he described it and see whether or not the Get Off the Couch ministry is in order. Clip 1, go.
We have seen an alleged murder with such specific text messages about the alleged murder weapon, where it was hidden, how it was placed, what was on it. But also, it was very touching in a way that I think many of us didn't expect. A very intimate portrait into this relationship between the suspect's roommate and the suspect himself, with him repeatedly calling his roommate, who is transitioning, calling him my love, and I want to protect you, my love. So it was this duality of someone who the attorney said not only jeopardized the life of Charlie Kirk and the crowd, but was doing it in front of children, which is one of the aggravating circumstances of this case. And on the other hand, he was, you know, speaking so lovingly about his partner. So a very interesting and, as Pierre said, riveting press conference, David.
That's absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. You want to know what I'm talking about in the clash of worldviews? That's exactly what I'm talking about. When a man got murdered in front of the world, his wife and his children no longer have a husband and father respectively, but this dude gets on camera to declare what the word of God says is abominable. And unless you repent, we'll send you to hell. But he says it's very touching. Very loving. The Get Off the Couch ministry is taking applications because we're living, as it were, in the days of Noah.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.